Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Last week, we talked about how God pursues us, and we talked about how He is willing to go anywhere to find you. And I believe today that His Holy Spirit is pursuing people. I believe there's some of you that have lost loved ones, have lost friends, and you're saying, God, I want you to find this person. And I believe His Holy Spirit is going after them. David said, if I make my home in heaven or I make my bed in hell, your Spirit will find me there. And so I think it's important for us to remember that sometimes. I think sometimes we forget that God's always coming after us. But to continue our series, to continue our love story here about God, we need to remember one other thing. And that is, in every great love story, especially in the past, you always have a damsel in distress, and you always have the hero that slays the dragon, right? And I remember as a little kid, you know, you always pretended, every boy always wanted to be that hero. They always wanted to be the knight with the sword fighting the dragon, and every little girl always wanted to be that damsel that was being rescued, except for my wife. She was probably the one with the sword trying to fight, because she's tough. And so there's just this idea that's in our heads, even from birth, I think, as kids, that we realize there's this place of romance that comes in this struggle, in this fight, and they put it all throughout literature. And so today I want to show you that God is not just in pursuit of you, but He wants to rescue you. I think sometimes if we stop short with the idea that He's pursuing me, then we get this idea that God just wants to come after me because He needs me, or He's coming after me because He only goes after good people. But in reality, He goes after people that are trapped, that are hurt, that are in distress. And so He wants to rescue us today. And so we want to go back to our story. So last week we talked about Hosea, and we said that Hosea was married to a prostitute as a sermon illustration, right? We said it was the worst sermon illustration ever. And so Hosea's married to a prostitute that keeps running off on him. And so today we want to kind of get back into that story, because what's happened in Hosea 1 and 2 is she keeps running off, getting pregnant by other men, coming back to Hosea and expecting him to raise those kids. And now she's gone again into prostitution. And so here's what the Word of the Lord says in Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to hang out in these three verses a lot today. It says, then the Lord said to me, go love your wife again, even though she still commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. Verse 2, so I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. Then I said to her, you must live in my house for many days and stop your prostitution. During this time, you will not have sexual relations with anyone, not even with me. I want to show you a couple of things that God wants to rescue us from today, because we're going to keep going through this verse and we're going to see how God works in our life. The first thing I want to point out to you in that verse that we just said is this idea that He bought her back. So in Hosea chapter 3, it says, right there, verse 2. So I bought her back for 15 pieces. Why would it say that I bought her back? Now, there's two different thoughts on this. Some people say that He bought her as though a man would buy a prostitute, right? That would pay for a prostitute to be with him. But most people, most theologians and Bible scholars feel like He bought her back because not only had she entered into prostitution again, but had gotten herself stuck into sex slavery. That basically, although she was married to Hosea, she was now owned by a man, and she was a slave. And so when Hosea goes to buy her back to rescue her, he is rescuing her out of slavery. He is having to pay a man so that he can buy her, purchase her as an item. Now, they say that the 15 pieces of silver, that's a good little bit of money, but the 5 bushels of barley, they say barley was one of those things that was kind of like the trash version of wheat. It was like ramen noodles back in those days, right? It's what college students and poor people eat, right? And for some of us that growing up and you didn't have a lot of money all the time. It's for all of us, really. But barley was one of those things that wasn't like the regular wheat. It was one of those things that people just, it was kind of like the poor people's food in those days. And so basically what it's saying here is it's showing that she wasn't worth a whole lot. But he's got to pay to get her back. He is buying her out of slavery. And I want to show you today that God wants to rescue you from slavery. He wants to rescue you from slavery. Now, Paul oftentimes refers to a lifestyle of sin as a lifestyle in slavery because you don't own your own life. When you're not serving God, you don't own your own life. And so I want to show you three areas of slavery that I feel like God rescues us from. The first area is slavery to sin. John 8, 34 through 36. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sins is a slave of sin." I want to stay there for a second. Anyone or everyone who sins. Everyone who sins. It doesn't just mean some people. It doesn't just mean a few people. It means everybody that sins becomes a slave to sin. Verse 35, "A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Colossians 1, 13 and 14, it says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." Jesus came and died to purchase our freedom, to buy us out of slavery to sin. One of the problems that we have a lot of times, and I don't know about you, but I remember in my life, I say remember, I know how my life is right now. There are certain sins that I become a slave to. I mean, let's just be honest today. There's been times in my life where I've been slave, where I would sin and it would become my master. It would dominate my thoughts. It would dominate my actions. It would dominate my motives, because everything I did, I would think about that sin. And I would go to church and I would tell God I'm so sorry, and I would repent and I would cry. And then I would go back into my regular life and I would step right back into that slavery because it owned me. I wasn't free yet. Now, Jesus paid the price, but there still comes a point where we've got to make a decision to choose that. Later on in the message, I'll tell you how the Bible says that those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved, will be set free, will be rescued. You've got to learn to call on His name. You've got to learn to give your life over. And then there was times in my life where I've gotten over certain sins, and then I will find other things that come up, right? One of the things my wife and I talk about all the time is there's certain issues in my life, and maybe your life too, I don't know, but maybe there's some certain issues in your life, and it's like they just come up out of nowhere, and you don't know where it comes. Have you ever gotten angry sometimes, and you don't know where the anger comes from? You don't know why you get angry. The Bible says you can be angry, but don't sin in your anger. But here's the problem, is sometimes we become slaves to that anger, and it's like no matter what happens, we find ourselves getting angry for no reason. Using our words in a negative way. We want to talk about pornography, and we want to talk about alcohol, and we want to talk about drugs, and we want to talk about all these big sins. But what about the other sins? What about the other things that you become slaves to? We're doing this, I say this a lot, so forgive me that I repeat myself. But oftentimes in my life, I find things that illustrate my messages, so I got to use them. But we're doing this nutrition challenge, Perry and I are, and we have to put in all of these things into our phone to figure out if we can eat certain items, right? So I got to know how much fat is in it, how much protein's in it, how many carbs are in it. So last night, some people invite us out to dinner, and immediately Perry and I go into a panic because we've already got our meal set up for the whole day, and now someone interrupts our life, and both of us go, can we even eat at this restaurant? And so we're trying to dig around on the internet, trying to figure out, can we eat at this restaurant? And we're putting stuff in. And I ended up going to the restaurant, and I said, "Now listen, I don't even know if this is on your menu, but I need 2 chicken breasts. I need an order of bacon." I'm like, I'm telling her things. And I said, however you got to figure it out to make it work, I'll pay for it, but this is what I need to be able to fit into my phone. You know, it's like, and I thought about it later, and I thought, I have become slave to this phone and this program that makes me eat certain items. Like, I'm a slave to it. It owns my life for the next, well, I've only got 4 weeks left. But for the next 4 weeks, this thing owns my life and it's driving me crazy. Right? But sin does that to us. Sin will own you. And it's like everything you do, you got to think, oh man, is this going to happen? Am I going to do this? And it becomes a worry. It becomes a stress to you because sin owns you. And Jesus said, I've come to set you free from that. You don't have to be a slave to sin. The other thing he sets us free from is slavery to hollow religion. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 says this. The law of Moses, that's talking about the Old Testament laws, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not. He sent His own Son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving us His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Here's the thing. Sometimes we think that religion is going to be what saves us. That religion, if we can just do all the right things. Well, here's the thing about religion. Religion can give you standards. It can guide you. It can tell you all about God. But religion cannot give you life. Religion will never give you life. I've seen plenty of people that have come out of sin and gotten into church. And then religion and church becomes just as much of a master over them as sin was. They follow all the rules and regulations and the standards perfectly, and they begin to judge other people. They begin to live just for the standards and not for the reason why we're doing it. They don't understand that life comes through Christ in relationship, not through these rules and regulations, not through this hollow religion. Paul says it clearly. He says, look, the law of Moses, there's some things it couldn't do. It can show you a way, but it doesn't show you why. It doesn't give you the life inside of it. And I think sometimes we think, if I can just hit all the right numbers, if I can just do all the right things, and it's not about that. It's about this relationship with God that He wants you to have to set you free from that religion. And here's the funny thing. If you have the relationship part down, then the standard part will be easy to follow. Whenever I look at the story of Hosea, I want you to look back for a second. Right here. It says this in verse 3. Then I said to her, you must live in my house for many days and stop your prostitution. During this time, you will not have sexual relations with anyone, not even with me. Stay on this for a minute because this is important. I want you to see the difference between religion and relationship. Here's the thing. Here's what religion would say in the red. Religion says, stop your prostitution. Stop your prostitution. And that's good. That's a great thing. Nobody in here should be prostituting themselves. Okay? Let's not do that. All right? That's a no. But relationship says you must live in my house for many days and stop your prostitution. In other words, what Hosea is saying here is he's saying, hey, listen, I want to have a relationship with you. I don't want you just to stop prostituting yourself. I don't want you just to follow a rule. I want you to live with me. I want you to be around me. I want you to have a relationship with me. I want you to stay here. That's exactly what God says. God says, I want you in my presence. Yeah, don't do this stuff, but stay in my presence. Be with me. Religion says you will not have sexual relations with anyone, but relationship, look at what Hosea says, not even with me. What's the difference? The difference there is religion wants to tell you what to do for the sake of the rules. Relationship wants to tell you what to do, even if it costs me, I want you to be better. The goal of relationship, the goal that Hosea has given us here is relationship and restoration. God wants you not just to be set free from religion. He wants you restored. He doesn't want you just not to sin. He wants to restore you, even if it costs Him everything. Hosea says, I'll sacrifice so that you can get right. I'll do whatever it takes to make you better. The third slavery that He sets us free from is slavery to fear. I think slavery to fear is one of the most common slaveries in Christianity. I think even for those of us that say, I'm free from sin, although we all still struggle, I get it, but I'm free from the lifestyle, the slavery of sin. I'm free from religion, I've got a relationship with God, but I struggle with fear. I think if you struggle with fear, then chances are your relationship isn't as strong as you think it is. The Bible says that true love drives out all fear. And if you're struggling with fear, if every day you wake up and you're afraid of what's going to happen, I'm afraid of what's going to happen with my kids, I'm afraid of what's going to happen with me, I'm afraid of what the doctor's going to say, I'm afraid of what the news is going to say, I'm afraid of who's going to be the president, I'm afraid of who's not going to be the president, I'm afraid of what Israel is doing, and I'm afraid of what Palestine's doing, and what's ISIS doing, and our whole lives can be consumed with this fear. It was funny, a couple weeks ago, we're in flu season or whatever, and Kim was taking up offering and doing all that stuff, and she made a joke about how some churches are telling their people, just wave, you know, don't shake hands because getting the flu. And I know there's some kind of, I know there's some kind of common sense to that, you know. But there's a part of me that says, I just can't live my life in fear all the time. Like, if I get the flu, I get the flu. I mean, that's bad, you know, but I can't live my life in fear all the time. Like, at some point, you got to step out there and get out of a bubble, right? You got to just live your life. Have fun. Enjoy. Do what God wants you to do. But fear will enslave you and keep you trapped and keep you down in a basement somewhere and keep you from getting where God needs you to be. He wants to set us free. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." I love that part because I think right there we see a key. You can go right back to that, Kim. We see a key point here. It says you didn't receive a spirit of fear, guys. We received the spirit of adoption. That God looks at us and He says, I want you to be mine. I'm adopting you in. I'm bringing you in. In the Roman world, whenever someone was adopted, this is kind of cool, they lost all rights to their old family. Everything about their old family was wiped away. You know, today, whenever you have adoptions, and we see adoptions a lot in our country, and one of the things that people do a lot is they go find their birth parents, and that's great, and I've got family members that have done that, and they go find their birth parents, and they reconnect with all that. But back in those days, in the Roman times, it was as though you never lived that other life. They completely cut away your birth family. And now you step into this new family and you gain every right that the new family has, that the birth children have. You are exactly like them. Let me tell you something today. There's some of you that you struggle with fear. You struggle because you don't really feel like you're accepted into God's family. You struggle because you're afraid that you're not going to make it because God doesn't really love you like He loves Gabriel or He loves Sherry or He loves whomever. But reality is, when God looks at you and He adopts you in, He eliminates your entire old life. It wipes it off the books and He says, now your life starts new with Me. You don't have to be afraid. I'm not bringing you into fear. I'm bringing you into adoption. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." That is so key. We can't walk around in fear today. If you are walking around in fear, your problem is you don't trust God. We've got to learn to trust Him to rescue us. To rescue us. I want to go back to Hosea chapter 3. I want to look at this. The Bible says that He bought her back for 15 pieces of silver, 5 bushels of barley, and a measure of wine. Let me give you a quick thought today as we are almost done, really. This quick thought is this. We don't get to determine the form of our rescue. I didn't put that in your notes today, but you might want to write it down, that we don't get to determine the form of our rescue. She didn't get to set the price, right? I'm sure for some of us, if someone's going to buy us back, we're like, barley? Really? 15 pieces of silver, that's all I'm worth? A cup of wine? Really? Like I should be at least worth some gold. You know, maybe a diamond or something. She doesn't get to determine that. She's a slave. She doesn't get to determine that. It's determined, the form of rescue is always determined by the rescuer. If you are trapped, I used to love to watch these shows, I Survived. I don't even know if they're still on anymore. But I used to love to watch these shows, I Survived. And they always talk about some cat is out hiking in the woods and he falls off a cliff and the bear eats him and the eagle comes and plucks out his eye and he's laying there, you know, and he's on the edge of a cliff about to die and he's waving for help, you know, with his one good arm, and finally a helicopter sees him. And then it's not one of those things though where he can tell them, "Hey guys, I really don't like helicopters or heights, so if y'all don't mind, you know, bring a ladder and help me down. Don't bring a helicopter. No, he has no choice in the matter. He's going to be rescued by whatever manner the rescuers think is necessary. I want you to think about something for a second. God, the Bible says, will always provide a way of escape for you. He will always find a way to rescue you. Whenever we look at the song we just sang earlier, He's in the Waiting. I love that song. And part of the reason I love that song, it makes me think about this idea that God wants to rescue us, but sometimes our struggle is the waiting on the rescue. Because we want the rescue to happen in a certain way. I want the blessing to come in a certain way. I want the victory to happen in a certain way. But in reality, God says, I'll rescue you, but I'll only do it my way. You don't really have a choice. The Bible says that Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And it says that they're walking out of Egypt. They're having a grand old time. Things are going great. Pharaoh just let them all go. But then all of a sudden, they get to the Red Sea. They can't go through it. They can't go around it. They try to turn around. When they turn around, it's some kind of song that my wife sings with kindergartners, and I just thought about it too. It made me laugh. Can't go under it. And so the Red Sea's there blocking their path. And as it's blocking their path, they turn around, and here comes Pharaoh. Pharaoh changes his mind, and Pharaoh's barreling down on them, ready to kill them. And now they're in the waiting game. And God says to Moses, Moses, raise your staff. And I'm sure Moses is thinking, really? Like, you turned it into a snake one time, but that's about it. Like, I'm going to just raise my staff. So he raises his staff. And then it says he has to wait there all night until the miracle happens. We don't see that part in the movie. You know, we don't see that part in the cartoon where he raises his staff. In the cartoon, when he raises his staff, the waters part and they walk through on dry land. But in reality, he's waiting there all night, and the people are sitting there, and they're watching Pharaoh's army come in to kill them, and they're having to wait on this rescue. And I'm sure they would rather God just wipe out Pharaoh or you know, transport them some way, but it doesn't happen like that. The three Hebrew children, the Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in Babylon, and they're about to get murdered because they stood up for their God. And God waits until they get thrown into the fire before he shows up. There's a lot of us that would have quit on God before we ever made it that far. I'm going to tell you something. We can't choose our form of rescue. Sometimes he waits until you're in the fire and he shows up to rescue you out of the fire. Sometimes he waits until you're in the lion's den before he shows up to rescue you out of the lion's den. You don't choose your form of rescue. Here's what the Bible says in John 14:6. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He didn't say I'm a way, a truth, and a life. He said I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want to be rescued from sin, if you want to be rescued from slavery, you want to be rescued from fear, you got to understand there is only one way. There's a lot of good self-help books out there. There's a lot of good videos you can watch on YouTube. But at the end of the day, the only way to be rescued, the only way to be set free is through Jesus Christ. You may not understand it all. You may not get it all. He doesn't say you're going to know everything. He just says he is the way, the truth, and the life. Galatians 1:4 says Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we lived. The next part of that verse I want to look at today is back in verse 3, and it says, I want you to stop your prostitution. Stop your prostitution and live with me. The next point is I want you to stay rescued. Don't go back. I think sometimes this is a struggle for a lot of people. Is they do this whole, I've been rescued from the fire, I jump back in the fire. I get rescued from the fire, I jump back in the fire. The Bible says it's like a dog returning to his vomit or a pig that gets clean that goes back to the mud. We live in this cyclical mindset sometimes where it's like, I do really, really good, and I do really, really bad. And I do really, really good, and I do really, really bad. You see it a lot of times in health and fitness. You see people that get on a diet, they lose a lot of weight. Have you ever seen the Biggest Loser TV show? You know, these guys, they get on there, they're doing all the running, they're doing all the eating, and as long as they've got their coach right by their side telling them exactly what to do, then they drop all that weight. But studies show, and they go back and interview these people a couple of years later, and a lot of them have fallen right back into where they were. They put all the weight back on. Why? What happens? It's because it's easy whenever you got someone standing there the whole time. But what if you're the one having to learn and do this stuff by yourself? And so what happens is sometimes we get in this mindset of this cycle that we get set free and we go right back in. And we've got to learn to stay rescued. You've got to stay rescued. Galatians 5:1 says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." Romans 6:12 says, "Therefore do not let sin reign or rule or be king in your mortal body so that you will obey its evil desires." We got to stay rescued today. And the last one I want to say, the last point I want to say is back in verse 1. And this is going to be the question for all of us today. Here's how Hosea starts it off. It says, "Then the Lord said to me, go." Then the Lord said to me, go. I want to ask you a question today. What is the Lord saying to you? What is the Lord saying to you? See, I believe He's always talking to us. And I believe there's two things. There's two things He's speaking to us today. Two things He's speaking to us today. The first thing I think He might be saying to you today is that rescued people rescue people. I think He's saying to us today, you can't just live your life getting rescued all the time. You can't always be the damsel in distress. At some point, you got to put on the armor and pick up the sword, and you got to be the knight killing the dragon. Like, you can't always be the victim. At some point, you got to be the hero. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 11, it says, "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter." Jude says it like this in 22 and 23. He says, "And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others." I love this. "Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives." In other words, what Jude says is, you've got to be willing to stick your hands in the fire. You've got to be willing to go as far as you can go to snatch people away from death. We've got to become the rescuers. Jude says, be careful that you don't fall in love with their sin. Remember, you hate the sin, but you love the sinner. We love them so much, we're going to keep them. I think we get too scared of what people think about us. And I've always liked the illustration that if one of my kids was running out into the middle of a busy street, I wouldn't calmly say, "Please come back." I would run into the street and I would grab them and throw them back into the yard. Like, I would make sure that they're not going to get killed. And Jude gives us that kind of visual image there of sacrificing everything to get someone out of the fire. I want to tell you quickly about a man named Aaron Fies. Aaron Fies was an football coach, and also the part-time guard or security patrol at the high school in Florida that just got shot up last week. They say that Aaron, when the shooting began, that Aaron went through the halls grabbing students, trying to get them out the door, even to the point of covering up kids and taking bullets in the back so that they would not die. Aaron died that day. He was murdered. But he wasn't murdered because he was standing around. He wasn't murdered because he was sitting in a chair. He was murdered because he was trying to rescue people. Aaron said, "My life is worth more than football." He said, "I've got to give my life for these kids." And I think so often we become so comfortable with church. We become so comfortable with Christianity that we forget that there are people dying and going to hell all around us. We become so comfortable and trustful and Moody and Clay and Pinson because we're in the middle of the Bible Belt. Everybody goes to church, but not everybody goes to heaven. Everybody goes to church, but not everybody's free. There's still slaves out there. There's still people bound up. There's still people dying and hurting and broken. And somebody's got to put their body in the way. Somebody's got to get out there and say, I'm willing to buy you back. I'm willing to go to the street corner. I'm willing to go to the other side of the tracks. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get you out of the fire. God has put you in position with people in your life for a reason. People tell me all the time, if I just worked at a church, my life would be great. I just pray all the time and just read my Bible. And the whole time I'm thinking, if I could just not work at the church, if I could just not be surrounded by Christians all the time, if I could just get myself somewhere where there's not Christians so I could have somebody that I could pull out of the fire. Like, we've got to have this mission mindset that Hosea had. What is the Lord saying to you? Maybe the Lord's saying to you, need to be rescued today. Psalm 91, 14 and 15. And this is where we'll close. If you don't mind, go ahead and stand up with me today. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. There's only two types of people in the room today, and that's it. You either need to be rescued or you need to start rescuing people. Either you're calling on the Lord or the Lord's calling on you today. What we want to do is we want to pray and we want to ask God to set us free. Call on the name of the Lord. If you're struggling today, if you're bound today, we got people that are going to pray with you in just a second. But if you're struggling today, call on His name. Call on the Lord. Talk to Him, and He wants to set you free. He wants to rescue you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.